We began a couple of weeks back talking about our worship, and so we have been breaking down the different acts of worship in each of these lessons, and we began thinking about the heart of the worshiper, thinking about the mind that we're supposed to have, the thoughts that help us to produce, if you will, the best possible worship that God is so deserving of when we come and assemble together. And the encouragement that we gain from that is very evident as well. Very thankful for those who have led in such a marvelous way this morning. And I'm thankful for the Bible class. And if you were not here for Bible class, you missed a treat. There has been a series of lessons that are foundational studies, if you will, but are so valuable for us and important for us, reminders for us, thinking about the very basic things so that we make sure that we dare not forget those things and that we continue to grow in them and that we're prepared to teach others as well. And so very thankful for Lee and the lessons that he's been teaching in that particular class. And as he was talking about worship and talking about even the assembling together of our worship this morning, this lesson really kind of follows on the heels of that. We're talking about worshiping in preaching this morning. You say, well, preacher, that's your job. That's not just my job, though. It's our job together. And we're going to talk about how that is valuable to us and how important that is as part of our worship. And certainly then, preaching is a key element in our worshiping God in spirit and truth. John 4, 23 and 24, God is seeking true worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in most of our assemblies, much time is devoted to the preaching of the gospel. And whether that's exactly by design or whether it is because praying typically does not take as long as the preaching. I've been in some congregations where a different number of songs were led, and so the preaching was a little shorter than the song service. But mostly it is the case that probably more time is devoted to the preaching of the gospel in our worship services. Well, why is that? Why is so much time devoted to such activity as the preaching of the gospel? I believe we find that there is a precedent set for it in Acts 20 and verse 7. Not that I'm planning to preach until midnight, I promise you. But the Apostle Paul did on that particular occasion. And so we see that to be the case. We find the Sermon on the Mount in Jesus. And of course, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find that it did not take all of that long to preach that. That's probably a good 20 to 30 minute sermon. It has, I believe, though, great potential in the preaching of the gospel to help to inform us, to help convict us, to help convert us. You think about the Apostle Peter for just a moment who walked with Jesus all the time that he did in Jesus' earthly ministry. And yet, the Lord told Peter on one occasion, when you are converted, there was a process in that conversion. It was a continual growth and learning process that Peter was going through. And so in the preaching of the gospel, it has potential then to help inform us, help to convict us, and to help convert us to be the people that God truly wants us to be. I think about 1 Timothy 4 in verse 13. What Paul writes to Timothy is important to this. He says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, to teaching it. And so this is what the Apostle Paul gave instructions to Timothy. And in verse 16 he says, take heed to yourself and to the teaching, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so it was very evident that the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, you give attention to your reading of the Scripture, to your growing in the Scripture. Meditate upon those things. In fact, he would say in verse 15, and then take heed to yourself, and then also take heed to the doctrine, to the teaching. And I see that as not just to the teaching of it, but also in how you teach it. Make sure that you're doing those things appropriately. And in so doing, he says, then you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And the idea of hearing there is with the intent to act upon those things that are spoken that are true. And so we find then Paul writing to Timothy, this young preacher, and he's giving him instruction in that. And in 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 2, he says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering," or enduring patience, if you will, "and doctrine," teaching. That was part of his work, what he was going to be doing. And so despite its potential, preaching often affects people differently. Some are informed by it. Some are, if you will, inspired by it to greater faithfulness in the Lord. That's typically its intent. Others are bored and unimpressed. Some of that may be on the preacher. I get that. But we have to get beyond the messenger, because it is never about the messenger. It is about the message that is to be preached. And that is what is valuable about our worshiping by way of our preaching and teaching. Now again, think about what we put into it. What do we typically say? Well, we get out of it what we put into it, right? You say, well, your preacher, you're doing the preaching. It does no good to do the preaching if there's not anyone listening, if there's not anyone willing to take heed, if there's not anyone willing to at least open and examine the evidence that is laid out before us to even help change our minds. And so let's think about, number one, preaching in our assemblies. What does that look like? And think about the benefits. What is it that we receive from the preaching of the gospel? We can be blessed, number one, by what we hear in our preaching. Those willing to properly listen, we're going to talk about more about listening here in just a moment, but those who properly listen, there are wonderful things to learn. That was the point that Lee was making in Bible class this morning. There is how we are listening and taking those things in. We grow from that. We are able to be blessed by the things that we hear. And we find in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus makes this point. He says, "Blessed are your eyes, they see, and for your ears, they hear." He says, "Assuredly, I say that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And I would think about this, because the Bible now, complete in its form, 1 Corinthians 13, that was going to take place, and the miraculous then would not be even needed at that point in time, because they had that which is perfect, the perfect revelation of God. And we have that before us, and we have it in such a way that is so readily available to us that we really have no excuse from it. But here's the point. The point is that when we read God's Word, because we have it so readily available, what excuse do we have, if any, for not growing in it, for not being the people that God would want us to be? And the blessings that we have today, I would say maybe even greater than those who walk directly with Jesus as His disciples, whom He was saying, He said, many prophets and many righteous men have longed to see what you're seeing and to hear what you're hearing. But they didn't see it all and they didn't hear it all, but here we have it before us, right? And we can see and we can hear it all as we read and study God's Word and have it proclaimed in our hearing. Things which great people like Abraham, David, and Daniel, and others did not have the opportunity to learn and to see the fulfillment of those things that they had heard about. In Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says, "And all these, all those heroes of faith," he says, "having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Things pertaining to the wonderful blessings that we have are now available to us in Christ Jesus. And because we have the perfect revelation of Christ, we have those things before us. And what blessings we have because we can see and hear those things together. Not only that, another blessing that we have is it helps to develop in us a saving faith. A saving faith. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." It, the gospel, and hearing it, it has benefits to help save. He says, to the Jew first and also then to the Greek. And he says, in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How does that come about? Let's turn together. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17, we know very well, I would say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Let's back up to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then there's a couple of questions that follow that get us thinking, how is this going to take place? How is this going to be produced? How is this faith going to happen? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And it says, and how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It's not about the physical foot, by the way, I'll just go ahead and tell you. And I'm wearing shoes so you can't see my feet. You don't know how beautiful they are. The point that he is making here is because they are sent out to preach good news, glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the writer says, so how beautiful are the feet of those who are sent to do it? Because they are willing to go. Because of the message that they bring. It's not about the messenger. It is about the message. That's how they're going to call on Him in whom they have not heard. And that's how they're going to hear. That's how they're going to be able to have this faith and believe. He says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message, our report? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so one certainly cannot gain faith through simply listening to TED Talks and good messages out there, maybe that are on YouTube and Facebook and maybe some other places and on the TV and on the radio and on satellite radio and so forth. There are a lot of different people out there talking and podcasts everywhere out there about anything and everything that you would want to possibly ever listen to. But how we gain faith in God is through the gospel and through the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. Philip asked the Ethiopian nobleman, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I accept some man guide me? Acts 8, verses 30 through 31. That's not every passage that we read that we need some guide. We can open God's Word and we can begin to read it and study it and begin to put things together and have an understanding of God who created, also was willing to save man because there was sin in the world. And so He sent His only begotten Son. And He did that because He loved us. We can begin to read those things and understand them and see then how to properly obey Jesus, who says, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We can follow the words of Jesus Himself and find out exactly what it is that He wants us to be doing. And follow the rest of the New Testament, the New Covenant, if you will, and find out exactly how we're supposed to be living. It is typically done through the preaching, the proclamation of God's Word. And so it can help develop a saving faith. Number three, we can be more fruitful because we have heard God's Word. Colossians 1:6 says, which has come to you as it has in all the world, is bringing forth fruit, as it is now, he says, among you, since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in faith. He says, since you began hearing the word of God, guess what it has done? It has produced fruit in your life. It has changed you. And so bearing fruit comes from understanding the very grace of God, he says. In Titus 2, verse 11, beginning, he says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all mankind, teaching us, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify unto himself his own special people who were zealous of good works. Look at the benefit that we gain from knowing the grace of God. And that grace, he says, that's what is preached. That helps us, that instructs us, that teaches us. It's not just some heavenly abstract concept that is out there. No, it is a tangible thing that we read and we study and we hear the God's word proclaimed to us, the proclamation of God's word, and it helps us to grow. We can be fruitful in it because we know the grace of God. It also certainly then can help us to avoid falling away as children of God. Sometimes it's the case that we need to be reminded of those things. You have the Hebrews letter for that very purpose, talking about drifting away and neglecting so great a salvation, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. And so he gave the solution to that. He said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the preaching of the gospel. And we could go on and on talking about the benefits and the blessings of it. But let's think about for just a moment, one of the things that might hinder us might be the way that we listen. There are different kinds of listeners. Let's think about those to begin with. In the Hebrew letter, we find out in Hebrews 5 and verse 11 that there were listeners who were dull of hearing. They just got tired of hearing. And when a person has this particular problem, it's hard for others to explain things to them. They're not willing to listen. They're not open to it. They have closed their ears, literally. They've closed their minds. The fault's not with the subject material. The fault's not with the one who's trying to explain it. But here it's the case is with the listener. Isaiah wrote of such people. In Matthew 13, Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them is the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. The heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears, they are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and I should heal them. People become this way because they have become dull of heart. As Jesus says, as he explains Isaiah's prophecy. Then there are those listeners with not dull hearing, but those who have itching ears. Itching ears. The Apostle Paul warned of this. He wrote to Timothy after he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to continue to listen to it. They're not going to continue to do it. They're not going to continue to heed what you're saying. He says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They listen to only that which is pleasing to them, and they reject truth for just stories. They do not like sound doctrine, which requires the type of preaching that was talked about in those previous verses there from Paul to Timothy. But the very best listeners that we find in Scripture are those of a noble and good heart. When Jesus explained that the seed, in that parable, the seed that's planted by the sower, that's scattered about on all different types of soil, different types of hearts, he talked about that seed that was planted on that good soil, that was those of a noble heart. They received the word and grew in it. And they bore fruit, 100-fold, right? The Bereans, we read about in Acts 17 and verse 11. Luke writes about a situation where Paul had gone from place to place preaching the gospel. He says, these were more noble, or fair-minded, the New King James says, more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Why? Because they were fair-minded. They were noble-minded. They had good and noble hearts. And so they received it. They listened to it with all readiness of mind. So the question for all of us then is, what kind of listeners are we to the preaching of the gospel, to the teaching of the gospel? And how important is that? Because this is not one-sided, where the preacher gets up and preaches a message, and we spent that 30 minutes together, and well, that was a good time. Or maybe it wasn't. It's about what kind of listeners we truly are. Because there again, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message that is preached. We should be listeners like the Bereans. We should be good soil like Jesus spoke of when the sower was casting seed. And so if we are, then every opportunity to hear the Word of God preached to us, we see it as an opportunity to be blessed and to grow, and to hear more about the very grace of God that instructs us how to live this life that we might be pleasing unto God. Last year in a lesson, I gave a couple of practical examples, and I want to share those again because I think it just makes sense. It's pertinent to us thinking about the preaching of the gospel. This is how we can get more out of the preaching of the gospel. We need to remember, number one, that it is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. How you listen to God's word being preached or being read is as much an indication as your devotion to God in how you pray, how you sing, how you give, and how you partake of the Lord's Supper. Think about how you would listen. Some great speaker that had been invited in. I think about my hero preachers that I love to listen to, that I love to hear. I think about the anticipation. And it's not just because of them, as much as I love them, but it's because they proclaim the one true and living God. I want to hear more about Him. I want to grow closer to Him. I want to hear those preachers who are going to preach a message that are going to draw me closer to the very throne room of God and let me worship Him and know more about Him. I know as a preacher, I often will fall short of that. But the message will always prevail if I'm the right type of listener. The message will draw me there to the very God of heaven. So make listening an act of worship. Number two, listen from the beginning to the end. I know that's difficult, from start to finish. Pay attention. Easier said than done, right? I know, I get that. But imagine if you were to just take a novel and just open it up to about chapter 8, somewhere in there, and begin reading. and you really only get to read a page or two of that, and you then set it down. And you come back a few minutes later and say, you know what, I'm going to pick that book back up, and I'm going to just open up, and I'm going to flip to chapter 2 this time, and I'm going to read a couple of pages, and then you get interrupted, something happens, and you set that back down. Well, you know what, I need to just skip to the end. I need to see what happened at the end, right? So I go to the last chapter, and I begin to read that. Imagine how that novel is sitting in your mind. Disjointed, and you may get the point of some of it, but you don't have the whole story, do you? You don't know all the details. How much more with God's Word? And what I realize, especially families with young children, and sometimes up and down, you're not going to hear everything that is preached. You're not going to get everything from the start to the finish. But that's the phase that you're in. But here's what's important for you to know. That what you're doing in training your children in the assembly, not outside of the assembly, but in the assembly, is you are teaching them just how important God's Word is when it is preached. You're showing them that. And you're hopefully training them to see that. And though you may not get everything, you are doing your work to help your child have that best opportunity to grow closer to God. And while preachers follow the basic rules of introducing a subject and presenting main points with supporting arguments or evidence before it to lay out, and then conclude with a summary and an appeal for greater service, to grow closer to God, it is truly the case that listeners and how you listen is as important as the message preached. That goes on both of us in listening to God's Word. Number three, keep your focus. Well, that kind of obviously is connected to the last one in many ways, but keep your focus. If you're always looking down at something else, at your watch, better hurry this up, right? You're looking at your watch, you're looking at something else, checking the email, whatever the case may be, on Facebook, it's happened. Our minds are easy enough to wander. And I think in our society, we have a distracted society, don't we? Everybody's distracted. I mean, I'm often distracted. I readily admit that. But we live in a distracted society. So it is hard to focus. It is hard to pay attention. That means it's going to require some diligence on each of our parts when we worship, not just about the preaching of the gospel, but in all aspects of our worship to God. But in our society, we have forgotten the much needed art of listening. You know, you have to train yourself somewhat to be a good listener. Not everybody's a good listener. We have to train ourselves to do that. In your mind, when others are talking, you have to actually hear what they say and take that in, rather than thinking about what it is that you want to say and how you already want to respond in order to listen. And of course, taking notes helps maintain that focus as well. Number four, read along. When a passage is mentioned, turn to that passage, open it up, read it. Or in taking notes, at least you can write that down. And obviously then, to get more out of the lesson, when we leave here, you're going to have the opportunity throughout this week because you've taken notes. Or maybe you can go back even to YouTube or to our webpage and you can listen to that lesson, or you can watch the lesson, watch the whole worship service. If you get on there quick enough, you can watch the whole worship service. But by usually Monday afternoon, everything is loaded up as just the sermon that is there, because we try to keep it short enough that somebody could go there and listen to a lesson. But read along. Open your Bible. Engage with it, knowing where you're reading on the page. I don't know how many times somebody has mentioned a passage, and in my mind, You know, I know where that passage is. I can't remember exactly what book, but you know, I know it's on the bottom right-hand corner of one of these pages right here. And I can flip through here and there it is. And I know about where it is on the page because I've spent time in God's Word and I've heard lessons on that. And maybe I've even got some notes that are in the margin of my Bible that help explain a word there or define something to help me in my growing. And now I can make that connection then with what's just been preached by the preacher. We encourage our children to do this, to take notes, right? Maybe even to early on to even draw a picture that helps them remember something about the lesson. Why shouldn't adults do the same, right? Number five, listen with faith. We need to listen with the expectation of hearing God's Word. And when hearing it, accepting it. Listening to it, heeding it, doing what it says. Checking those things like the noble Bereans did in Acts 17:11. And if it's truth, accept it, live it. That's what it's about. Those Israelites who died in the wilderness, we find out part of the problem with them is that they had heard what they were supposed to be doing. They had directions. They had instructions from God. But it reads here in Hebrews 4 verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Indeed, the gospel," it says, "was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Why is that? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. It's as if they already didn't believe it. And so when it was preached, their eyes were shut, their ears were closed, their mind was shut down, would not take anything in. It's just like going in and out of a door when we leave the auditorium. If that door is closed, you know, I've got to actually open it to go through it. Otherwise, it's going to hurt. We have to open our minds to God's Word. Listening with faith. We do not want to fall short of our heavenly rest. Number six, listen with a mind to act. Be ready to respond. We read in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30, "As for you, son of man," he says, the children of your people, he says, "are talking about you beside the walls and the doors of the houses. They speak to one another, saying to each to his brother, 'Please come, hear the word that comes from the Lord.'" And so he says, "They come to you as the people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them." God reminds Ezekiel. He says, they're talking about coming together, assembling to hear what you have to say from the word of the Lord, right? They seem excited about it. But they're not doing it. They're not doing it. And I think the same frustration was seen in our Lord in Luke 6:46 when he says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" And so we need to listen with a mind ready to act. And that's what James says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, and he goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he's not a forgetful hearer, but he's a doer of the work. This man will be blessed in his deeds." The role of preaching is important in the kingdom of God. Jesus, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Matthew 4, and verse 17. And verse 23, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Gospel preaching is directly connected to the kingdom. It's that important. And we need to see it as such. And Jesus wanted his gospel preached to every race of people, to every nation of people, to all of mankind, to all of creation. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It has the potential to do much good in our lives. I think about Paul as he writes, we often quote verse 16 of Romans 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But in verse 15, it's interesting. He says, I am ready to preach to you who are at Rome. But you see that in the Apostle Paul in all of his letters. He wanted to come to them. He wanted to be able to preach the gospel. And he went all over preaching the gospel. It's that important. And the role of it connected directly to the kingdom of God should be that important then to us. It has the potential to do that much good to save mankind. We owe it to ourselves to be good listeners of the Word of God and to give it its due. To receive the Word with all readiness of mind, as we mentioned, Acts 17. To receive the Word with good and noble hearts, Luke 8 and verse 15. To receive the Word of God with every intention to do what it says, being doers of the Word, not hearers only. And so this morning, as we think about worshiping and preaching and the teaching of God's Word, we each have a role in this. This morning, in my preaching the gospel, but in every one of us, in every one of our lives, the role in hearing the gospel proclaimed. It's that important. It has great potential to change our lives and to change the world. This morning, how will you respond to the preaching of the gospel? Is it the case that you need to obey the gospel, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing your faith, being baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. Or maybe it's the case that as a child of God, how you respond this morning because you want to be a better listener of God's Word and grow in it, in that grace. Can we help you? Can we encourage you? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And its intent is to give us that opportunity then to properly respond if so needed. And so we're going to sing. And as we do, if you need, come to the front.